Okay, turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and then also to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. So continuing on in our series of cloud of witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, witnesses of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, pre-incarnate, that means before he came as a baby, he was active in what? In creation. Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. And that's John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And so that's the Lord Jesus Christ, is the creator of all things. He is God, and Jesus is his name. In the Old Testament, it was Jehovah, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, in the Old Testament, Lord, before he came as a baby. And in God's economy, he is the lamb that's slain from the foundation of the world, because when God gives his word, it's good as done. And of course, he's outside of time, so it was done. And so, but in time, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, "It is finished." And that is when, in time, salvation was secured. And so in God's economy, all those that believed in the Old Testament, they were saved by the same blood of Christ as we are today. But being in time, they had to continue on in the ceremonial duties that they had then. And so, looking here, so we'll read a verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, and then we'll go over to 1 Samuel chapter 3. So, the cloud of witnesses that we've been looking at in chapter 11 start out with the Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abram and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses' parents and the people of God, all of Israel, and Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and now Samuel. So, if you're able to, please stand with me as we read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, and then over to 1 Samuel chapter 3. So Hebrews 11, 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets." And then over to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and those young people in the group here, if you try to remember, try to count how many times God called out to Samuel here. How many times did he call out to Samuel? All right. So, 1 Samuel chapter 3. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for thou didst call me. Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Did any of you young people figure out, do we see a show of hands? How many times? Okay, in the back? Four times, yes. So good. Good call. Yeah. So yes. So he had called three times, and it was on the fourth time that Samuel knew how to respond properly. All right. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for this story here, this true event of Samuel, and how it is that you called him, just a child, you called him at a time when there were adults that were not fulfilling their role as they should have. And what a wonderful thing that you do not discriminate on the basis of age or nationality or any basis. And so we thank thee for this, dear God, and we pray that thou would help us to learn from thy word this day. In Christ's name, amen. All right, please be seated. And so, yes, here we have a story of Samuel. Now, Samuel was, I mentioned in my prayer, he was young. You remember the story? We'll just kind of go over that story again. And we find here that his mother and father, they would go every year to offer sacrifice in Shiloh. Remember how I said that before Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, people gave sacrifices in according to the ceremonial laws. And so these folks were doing the same thing there. And the whole world knew about Israel. They definitely knew what had happened in Egypt. And so there was no question about who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. And so here, Elkanah, this man, and his wife Hannah, they would go and give sacrifice. Now, Hannah, she was barren. She didn't have children. And that was causing her a lot of distress. And so verse 9 of chapter 1, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat at the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." No razor shall come upon his head. So here she was. She desired a child, and she prayed to God that God would give her a child, and that she was willing to give up that child to be what we know of as a Nazirite, that no razor would come upon his head. Do you remember somebody else we talked about that no razor came upon his head? We didn't emphasize it, but he was also a Nazirite. The young?
Samson,
yes. Yeah, Samson means sunshine. I wonder if his friends would kid him about that. But anyway, yeah, Samson. No razor came upon his head. He was a Nazirite. He was dedicated to the service of the Lord. And so here too, this is what Hannah had prayed, that she would dedicate her child to God if God would give her a man-child. And so now carrying on here in verse 12 of chapter 1, "And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth." Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. Now, you can pray. You don't have to pray out loud. God can hear your thoughts. God knows your very thoughts. And when you talk with God, You can talk with God out loud, or you can talk with him quietly in your mind, and he hears all your thoughts. He knows all your thoughts and cares about you. We pray out loud when we're in a group, and it's appropriate. And so here she was praying quietly to herself, and Eli thought maybe she was drunk, and he said in verse 14, Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunk, and put away thy wine from thee?" And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid as the daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." And Eli answered and said unto her, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So verse 19, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah," that's Hannah's husband, "knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her." Verse 20, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." And so that's what his name means. You know, on the end of Samuel is E-L. Do you remember what E-L means at the end of a name or the beginning of a name in the Bible? E-L. Anybody, even the adults? God. Yes, so I wonder what Samuel, in the first part of that, it's actually Shema. Shema-el is asked of God. And so here she named her son asked of God. So kind of like the way Samson's name was Sunshine. And here now Samuel's name meant asked of God. She had asked God for a son and God gave her a son. But now what does that mean? She said she was going to give up her son to be a Nazarite, give him up to the Lord all the days of his life. And so sure enough, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever." And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, "Okay, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. So weaning a child means as long as they're breastfeeding child, that then that child is with a mother. And so then, wow, that's a pretty young age, isn't it? I mean, that could be like, she might have given up her son Samuel at the age of 3 or 4. Who's the youngest here? Like 3? How old? Yeah, how old? 4? Can you imagine? Can you imagine going to the temple at 4 years of old, leaving your parents, bringing you to the temple and leaving you there? Well, here it was actually still, we're still with a tabernacle, right? The tabernacle was the portable temple, the tent tabernacle. Yes, so that's what happened. She now, her husband, according to Numbers 30, verse 7, here we look at just quickly here, Numbers. She was saying, I'm not going to go up to the tabernacle right now because the child is still sucking. And so there would be there might have been a temptation for her to go back on her vow, right? But her husband was appropriately saying to her, Numbers 30, verse 7, and her husband, now, if So it's talking about a woman, if she at, in verse 6, if she at all, if she had at all an husband, when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, that's by a vow. Verse 7, and her husband heard it, and held her peace at her in that day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallowed her on that day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. So it's up to the husband. He heard Hannah vow this vow, and now here it's time to give up her son. And so she's saying, well, I will bring him when he's weaned. And so Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. And so so she had a vow, and she was her husband was helping her so that she would keep it. And so the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up in her with her, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord to Shiloh, and the child was young. And so the child was young, and that's typically at an age where they are prone to cry a fair bit. Yet, and to the age where they go, I don't know why I'm crying all the time. It never works, so give up on that. Okay, so she brought the child up. The child was young, brought him to the tabernacle, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. Eli was the priest, and she said, O my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And so Hannah left her son Samuel. Samuel, the son whose name meant the Lord, or asketh of the Lord, asked of the Lord. And so then chapter 2, now remember we talked in the past about Moses' songs? So Moses' songs in, I think it's Exodus 15 and then Deuteronomy 32. Well, here's Hannah. She prays this prayer. I'm quite amazed at this prayer. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoiced in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and of him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that are full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low, he lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar out of, from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Wow, what a prayer. That's an amazing... What's inside of that woman that would bring out that kind of a prayer? That's a wonderful prayer of praise to our God. I think about myself. I don't have that in me that brings out a prayer like that. But I can attest to some times when it was pretty close. And so she was in a lot of distress. And she saw God's miraculous hand in her life. And she's so thankful to God. And so this is a time when the Philistines were continually enemies with Israel. And actually, Samuel now is becoming the last judge. Remember, there were judges in the land that were helping the Israelites to be free. Like whenever they cried out to the Lord, then God gave them a deliverer, a judge that could help them to overcome. And so Samson was one of those deliverers, one of those judges. And so here now, Samuel was the last judge in Israel. And he was also a prophet. We're told in 1 Samuel 9 and 19 that he was a seer. And in those days, prophets were called seers. And then later, in verse 19, he was known and called a prophet. And so Samuel was a judge and a prophet. But what was it? How was it that he became that? We see that now in verse 11 of chapter 2, and Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. There he was, 3 or 4 years old. 3 or 4 years old, serving the priest in the temple, in the tabernacle. And now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And remember, I was mentioned that Samuel is a young man. God spoke to him at a time when adults were not doing what God had wanted them to do. Well, sure enough, there were these boys here that men, they were already men. And they knew not the Lord. And if you remember in our reading, do you remember Samuel also did not know the Lord at the time of this story, but he did come to know the Lord. So what was that all about? Well, talking about these sons of Eli in chapter 2, verse 13, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of 3 teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, "Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw." And if any man said unto him, "Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desires," then he would answer him, "Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force." So the people were trying to give sacrifices that were according to the rules. But here these young men were acting as priests, and they were forbidding them to do the proper sacrifice. But you know, these people were doing it with the right heart and with the right motive, and God knew that. The right sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ. And these folks, even if they were not able to give the right sacrifice, those that did trust God understood that there was a deliverer that was coming, because he was promised. He was promised back with Eve yet that seed of the woman would come. And so, who, you know, can you imagine being Hannah thinking, like, could it be that my son might be that seed? And so, yet it wasn't. And I mean, I'm thinking even what Manoah, was it Samson's father and mother, might have thought that Samson was going to be that seed of the woman. And yet Samson and Samuel and later we see David, they were not the seed of the woman that would actually crush the serpent's head. But they were object lessons of who, of what type of character that Savior would be, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ. Samuel here, being prophet and priest, was a illustration of that coming prophet that was foretold about that prophet in Deuteronomy that would come and deliver his people. And so the people suffered at the hand of these priests, but they knew that there would be a blood sacrifice that God would bring, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Passover lamb was an object lesson of that blood sacrifice. And so verse 18 of 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod." Now the ephod was a garment that was for the priesthood. And so here is a young child. He even had this ephod. "Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." Can you imagine? He's growing, and you parents know all about that. As your children are growing, every year she would bring another coat. "And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, 'The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent the Lord.' And they went unto their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." So God even blessed her with many more children. So now we will, this is just part one of talking about Samuel. And there's more to talk about regarding Eli's children, their wicked ways, and Eli's refusal to correct them. But carrying on with the story about Samuel and the, how many times did God call him? How many times? Four times. Four times, yes. God called him four times. The first three times, he didn't know it was the Lord. Who did he think it was? Who did he think was calling him? If you know the answer, you could just say it out loud.
Eli.
Eli, yes, Eli.
His dad, right? Eli,
no, no, the priest.
The priest.
The priest, Eli. Yeah. Eli the priest in the town. Because now, yeah, he's not with his mom and dad anymore. He's they're a long ways away. They are in by Mount Ephraim in Ramathaim Zophim in Mount Ephraim. They're far away from Shiloh. And so anyway, Samuel is hearing somebody call in the nighttime. And so he goes to Eli and he said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And Eli said, "I called not, lie down again." And that happened three times that Samuel thought that it was Eli calling. And then in verse 8 of chapter 3, "And Eli perceived that the Lord called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went down went and lay down in his place. Now we are told already in verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And we had read earlier too that in verse 1, that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And I kind of think that perhaps we might be in that situation right now. I'm thinking about myself, you know, why is my prayer not like Hannah's prayer? You know, God allowed that Hannah would be the mother of Samuel. God had a wonderful plan for Samuel. Isn't that wonderful to be in a situation where we can hear the Lord's voice? And you know what? When I was 7 years old, before I was seven, when I was like 5 years old, four or five, I would hear this story about Samuel. And I heard stories about like David and Daniel. And I wanted to be like those heroes for God. I had that desire in me to, you know, do great things, something great for God. And I did not know the Lord at that time. I didn't know that. I thought I was a Christian. I go to church. I memorize Bible verses. And so I thought, well, wouldn't that be great to just hear the voice of the Lord like Samuel did? And I was mature enough to understand that I wouldn't have to hear it audibly. God could call me just the way he hears me without me talking audibly, like out loud. God can hear me without talking out loud. God can speak to me. He can speak to you, even if it's not out loud. And so I was sensitive to that. And you know, one thing happened in my life where I had disobeyed God many times. My parents, I had disobeyed them, and I had tried to make things right. And one time I had lied to my friend, and he told me, he called me on it, and he said, "You lied to me." And I said, "Yes, okay, I lied to you." He says, "Yeah, you're just a liar. You're not, you say you're a Christian." And, you know, I could never remember having told him I was a Christian. But he said that, he says, "You say you're a Christian, but you're nothing but a liar." And that bothered me. I go, "Yes, I did lie." And I thought, well, I'll give him this little dinky toy car that I have, and it'll make it right. Because that's what I had in my mind. I had it in my mind that that's how we make up for our sin. And that's the natural man. That's what the natural man thinks. But that's not what God thinks. God knows that once we've sinned, and even being born a sinner in Adam, we are not right with God. We're not a friend of God. We are an enemy with God. I thought I was a friend of God. I thought I was wanting to make my life count for something for God. And yet here it was. I was like Samuel, where it says that he did not know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And so I was about 5 years old. And then when I was seven, we were at this evangelistic meetings, and the word of God was preached, and nothing different than I had heard before. But the question was, if Jesus Christ would come tonight, would you be ready? And that message had been given the night before that I actually went forward. And I decided, well, I'm going to go forward that next night. And I did. And it was difficult for me. And I thought, this is something God wants me to do. And I'm going to do this for God. And I thank God. There was an usher there that when I was going forward, going to the room for counseling, he set me aside and he said, "Young man, you wait here until your mother is finished." Mother was going to be a counselor. And I go, "Oh, no, they're not going to counsel me because I'm just young." And so long story short, I couldn't sleep that night because I knew there was something wrong in my life. And I went to my dad, and my dad led me through that Romans road. If you look at the John and Romans that we hand out, Do you know that there's some underlying verses in that John and Romans? Those are two books of the Bible. The Gospel of John and the Book of Romans. You know which one I'm referring to? The John and Romans pamphlet? You know, yeah. So there's underlying verses there. And I had memorized all those verses, if I think of all of them, at a young age. And yet, it hadn't gone to my heart. And so, that night, for the first time, I realized it wasn't what I could do for God that was important. What was important was Jesus Christ. He's everything. Jesus Christ is everything. And that's what all of these people in the Old Testament that knew God, that's how they could pray a prayer like that. That's how they could, once they were given good direction here, like by Eli, therefore Eli said unto him, unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. What an appropriate answer. And then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. Yes, God did tell him some things. And some frightening things happen later on, but nothing that if you trust in Christ for salvation that you can have no fear. Just as Hannah prayed in her prayer, there's no fear. Even with all these Philistines around them, threatening and killing some of them, yet if you have your faith in God, your trust, repentance toward God, and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have no fear in life. You can rest in Christ knowing what your future is. So part two, Lord willing, I continue on in the rest of my testimony, but in the testimony of Samuel how God led him further, and how he also, I'd like to share more about my testimony, how God has led me. The important thing here is that we're not born as a friend of God. We're born as an enemy of God. We inherited that through Adam. And one man said, well, that's not fair. And the other fellow says, yes, but is it fair that Jesus Christ should take on the sin of everyone, which he did? That's not fair. Not everyone will accept that gift. And yet Christ has paid for it with his own blood, with his own suffering on the cross. And so, is that fair? No. So it's not about fairness. It's about justice. And God cannot bring sin into his kingdom. It's and so when we're born to sinners, we're sinners. And there's a free gift available to all. And it's tremendous to see how God has made it available to all. All right. We're just thankful to God for that he brought it to my parents and my grandparents, and how it brought to so many others. What a testimony. All right, pray that God would bless us. Dear God, we pray that thou would help us to apply thy word to our lives, even at a young age, 3 years old, 4 years old. Here's Samuel serving in the tabernacle, and not even knowing there, he didn't know thee yet. So many of us attending in church, we don't know thee yet. But we do know that we're sinners, and it's how we respond to that that we can either find peace with thee and with our fellow man, or just go off without thee, oh dear God. Just pray for each one here, each precious soul. You've shed your blood for each one that's here, and your gift of salvation is free, and yet there is a cost to following thee, and that is to surrender and to give in to our pride. How terrible pride is. Dear God, we thank thee for all thy provision, for thy goodness to us. We continue to pray for a pastor. We know that thou'll provide And in the meantime, we do what we can to serve thee and love thee. And we thank thee for thy great love wherewith thou hast loved us in sending thy son to us. We look forward to his soon return. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.